go forward rather than go back.
Thank you. So any of you that came to see a talk about remotely sensed soil moisture with precipitation and evapotranspiration, I apologize because you'll need to go see that somewhere else. And that's one of my lessons of having done my master's, is that there are more questions than you actually have time to answer while writing your thesis and preparing for your oral exams. So today I will be presenting looking into AMSRI soil moisture algorithm and data products in relation to North Carolina. So the importance of soil moisture is well known to all of us for improving weather and climate forecasting, flood prediction, water resource planning, drought monitoring, quantifying carbon sequestration and climate change, and for informing irrigation and construction scheduling. So my objectives for today will be to introduce the two data sets I'll be looking at. One is an in-situ soil moisture network called North Carolina's Environment and Climate Observing Network, I'll call EcoNet. The second is remotely sensed, which Dr. Kosh mentioned. It's the Advanced Microwave Scanning Radiometer for the Earth Observing System, I'll call AMSRI. So I'm going to go through a couple comparisons after reviewing some of my other research I presented last year. And this involves comparing soil moisture to its polarization ratio, which is the raw data that they use to estimate soil moisture. And then to also take a step farther back and look at it, soil moisture compared to its brightness temperature. And then those are done on statewide scales across North Carolina. Then we're going to look at, on a cell basis, comparing soil moisture and polarization ratio. And then lastly, review how EcoNet soil moisture relates to these remotely sensed data. So the ultimate goal of my research has been to improve monitoring of soil moisture across North Carolina. And our goal was to hopefully provide interpolated soil moisture across the state like the Oklahoma Mesonet does currently. So we were looking at spatial correlation and correlation with the remotely sensed data set so that we can offer it from the state climate office online, free of charge to anyone who needs it, agriculture, and everything else I've mentioned before. So here is a map of the North Carolina EcoNet. You can see North Carolina has a large extent, just about as long as Oklahoma, I believe, about 850 kilometers. And we only have currently 37 sites across the state. So that's very high spacing. And so already you can see a major challenge for just interpolating soil moisture based on this. So our hopes were that AMSRI would help us fill those gaps. So North Carolina hopes to have one station in each county, similar to the Mesonet. And we're monitoring soil moisture in near real time, 20 centimeter depth, hourly data available, and then on up. So the second data set is from AMSRI, and this is the Aqua satellite with the AMSRI instrument in the bold colors. And sadly, just as I finished my research, I got the email that it is having technical difficulties. But hopefully this can still be used in the future projects coming out like SMAP, some of my results. So the way AMSRI reads soil moisture is that soils naturally emit microwaves. And these are this is based on the dielectric properties of soil and is a function of the water content in soil. And AMSRI specifically is looking at between 6.9 and 89 gigahertz. And for soil moisture, we're looking at 10.7 gigahertz. So not the optimum frequencies, wavelengths for soil moisture reading. This is C-band. But it was the best they could use after dealing with radio frequency interference and dealing in North Carolina with high amounts of vegetation biomass. So here's a look at how AMSRI data lines up with our EcoNet stations. So you can see the potential was that we can bridge soil moisture across the state using this data set. Raster data set, each cell is 25 kilometers, and we have the wetter values in the blues and the drier in the red and orange. But just to review what I talked about last year is that looking at the correlation, our R-squareds were all less than 0.07. So we found no correlations, probably safe to say. And that was looking at all 37 of our, or I'm sorry, a little less than our 37 sites and looking at values of the cell overlying each site. But we did find high spatial correlation within the AMSRI data set, probably because of the large footprint and spatial scaling. So other reasons why we probably didn't see correlation between these data sets involve the difference of sensing depths. Econet is looking at depth 20 centimeters, and AMSRI at best the top centimeter. And then also that we do have incredibly different spatial scales. But what we did also notice was AMSRI has low variability from what we would physically expect, and also low estimates to begin with. And considering that it's a surface reading, we should see higher variability than what we see in the Econet dataset. So we saw right away there are things that need to be improved. So what I'll present today is trying to go back beyond that soil moisture product and see what might be going on within the algorithm. So looking here, I'm showing the data process of soil moisture. So we start with our raw digital counts from the satellite, and those are translated to brightness temperatures, which I'll explain in a moment. And then between steps 2A and 2B, we bring in ancillary data and other quality control checks. And the ancillary data that we know are going in are soil texture and vegetative type, which are informing soil moisture. So we're looking at that step to try and determine what's going on in the soil moisture estimates. So we wanted to understand the algorithm further and see if it's significantly changing soil moisture from the raw data, the brightness temperatures and the polarization ratio, and to see if Econet soil moisture might be more correlated to the raw data. Maybe we can still interpolate soil moisture with AMSRI data. So here is a list of the parameters that are going into the soil moisture algorithm, which is kind of hard to track down because documentation hasn't been as good as it should have. But we know that we have topography, we have screens for ice and snow, and soil type and vegetative type, which are incredibly coarse data sets. You can see soil type is 1 degree by 1 degree. There are about 3 different clay types in North Carolina and 5 different sand types across North Carolina. So that's what's characterizing all of our soils, and that's from the mountains to the coastal plain, an incredibly diverse, heterogeneous array of soil textures and types. And the only dynamic variables, no environmental precipitation or temperature or ET were taken into these data sets. The only dynamic variables are those brightness temperatures, which are then put into a polarization ratio. So just to describe real quick, the brightness temperature is simply the emissivity of the soil times its thermodynamic temperature. And what the polarization ratio then does from the brightness temperature is it seeks to cancel out differences of temperature at the soil surface. So we're taking the difference of our brightness temperature polarizations over the sum to normalize it. So here is our best correlation between the soil moisture and polarization ratio. And we looked at a small set of dates that were both considered wet and dry across North Carolina, trying to see if there's a difference between wet and dry in correlation. And we looked at several cells that also coincide with an Econet site to make location of those cells easier and more intuitive geographically. And so our best R-squared was 0.63. On average, we saw an R-squared of 0.33. And so what we found was AMSRI soil moisture on the y-axis and our polarization ratio on the x-axis, that for some reason polarization ratio is only explaining, on average, about 30% of the variability within soil moisture. So some other variable is explaining the rest of our variability. And so we saw no difference, no significant differences between correlations on wet and dry days as well. So looking now statewide at soil moisture and comparing it to brightness temperatures, both polarization polarizations, we found, once again, low correlations. Here, not significantly different than the correlations between polarization ratio, we have R squares that were on average around 0.30. So once again, there must be some other variable other than the dynamic variables in estimating soil moisture. And so, you know, what are those variables? It should be the microwave data from the soil. So then we decided, okay, if we're looking on a statewide scale, let's scale this down to a cell size. And so here we're comparing soil moisture and polarization ratio for sites in different physiographic regions. So here we're looking at four regressions within the mountains. And we can see right away that on average, and these are just four of several comparisons we did within the mountains, that we're having extremely low and sometimes moderate correlation between the polarization ratio and soil moisture. And this is just astounding that for some reason the microwave data is explaining almost none of the variability in soil moisture. So what we also see is when we look in the Piedmont, we see the same thing. We have one moderately high regression, and then we have several others that are very poor. And this is looking at several study days at each cell. So we're looking through time, and we're seeing that the correlation is very low. And the same was true for the coastal plain with two regressions that were high in Rockingham and Plymouth there. So then we decided to plot these together because I think we get a better picture of what's happening here. So here we have those four regressions from the mountains in the green, and we have soil moisture on the y-axis, polarization ratio on the x-axis. And then we bring in our regressions from the Piedmont, the central part of the state, the hilly part of the state. And then we bring in our regressions from the coastal plain. And we see right away that we have a clustering of our soil moisture and polarization ratio correlations. We have the mountains occurring at a high soil moisture content and a low polarization ratio. We have our Piedmont and inner coastal plain occurring with mid soil moisture and polarization ratio, and outer coastal plain cells having the most dynamic polarization ratio and the lowest AMSRE values. So what this is telling us, we think, please feel free to disagree, is that our static variables, such as soil type, are the main variables informing soil moisture. So that explains why we have almost static soil moisture estimates through time. It's because our static variables are the most dominant parameters. And then this also makes sense when we compare it to those soil type layers that they're using, because what I didn't have time to get to was actually correlating this to those soil types. But the soil types, like I said, the three different clay types occur in the mountains, the Piedmont, and generally the coastal plain. And so we might be seeing some of that break apart here as well. So I encourage anyone else who might have time to look at that. So then, knowing that AMSRE soil moisture and its raw data aren't going to help North Carolina in estimating soil moisture, how much time? 1 minute? All right. We briefly wanted to compare it to our in-situ soil moisture. We found no correlation with the polarization ratio, low correlation with the brightness temperature, and that was right on par with our EcoNet regressions as well on the statewide scale. So we can't use raw data directly with our in-situ data. So I'll just go ahead and close with that. Thank you.
Great.